It's the morning show. I'm Carrie Kaufman. There's a particular look that teenagers get when they are taking a selfie. There's kind of a pursing of the lips, for sure, an angling of the head. There's the strange jockeying for position sometimes so that the camera gets their quote-unquote good side. People who have grown up with social media seem to know exactly what that camera is seeing. Actors used to have to train for years to get that kind of self-knowledge. But what is the substance of this self-knowledge, this persona-driven culture that relies on the constantly updated image as calling card and marker of cachet? Very little scholarship has been done on this topic, but Christia Spears Brown has set out to change that. She is a professor of psychology at the University of Kentucky and co-author of a new study, The Selfie Generation, Examining the Relationship Between Social Media Use and Early Adolescent Body Image. She joins us now by phone. Christia, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
We also want to hear from you. If you are a teenager and you are actually up this early, please give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@WPR.org. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. If you are the parent of a teenager or just somebody who likes to take selfies and is wondering about this selfie generation, also give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. So, Christia, talk to us first about how this study came about.
Well, this work really is driven by my graduate student, Alyssa Solomon, who's really the expert on social media use. So I'm really following her lead and kind of speaking for our research team. And she's really been interested in the fact that social media use is ubiquitous on early adolescence. So we do a lot of work looking at how middle school girls think about themselves, think about their bodies. We do a lot thinking about how all of this is gendered, how girls are really supposed to look in a certain way. Mm. And now, in the current, 2018 middle schoolers are really living their lives on social media. And so researchers really have to start paying attention to what that new context and what that new landscape is, because that is their lived experience. And as you said in the opening, the researchers really haven't caught up to that, haven't mm-hmm. really been paying attention to what's their lived experience. And we know that almost all early adolescents and teenagers are on social media.
Right.
Our middle schoolers, we have 90% of them, even in seventh grade, are using some form of social media. So we've got to be paying attention to how does that affect how they think about themselves, how they think about others, how they think about the world.
And the people who are not on social media, they feel like they're being left out, right?
They do. I mean, because, in our middle school samples, we're finding only 10% are not on some form of social media.
Mm.
It's not related to how much money you make or how much money your family makes. It's not related to race or ethnicity. It is really so common that you really are out of the norm if you're not on at least one type of social media platform.
So media portraying unrealistic body images is nothing new. Like, I remember Twiggy. Twiggy actually started before my time. But many teen girls thought that they needed to be skinny. And that lasted for a couple of decades, that Twiggy look. Fashion designers didn't really help. How is social media different now? How is it making girls see themselves any differently than their parents saw themselves?
Well, I think you hit on it in that, for one, I don't think it is new. I think that this is a phenomenon we've had as long as culture can present a cultivated image of what you're supposed to look like, in air quotes. Teens are being informed by that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's shaping how we think we should look. So in many ways, social media is just a new form of regular old-fashioned media. What's a little different about social media, though, is it is highly cultivated, so the people that are posting on social media are really picking the very best image that they can. They'll take, 100 selfies and post the single best one, but yet it looks realistic. So it's not as though we're seeing movie stars necessarily. We're seeing people that seem like they're in their normal lives posting this perfect image that really we don't know that they took 99 photos that they discarded. And the other difference about social media is that teens, or really anyone, is really engaging in the media itself. So on television and movies and magazines in times past, you just passively look at the images. With social media, you're posting yourself, pictures of yourself, you're liking other people's pictures, so you're actively engaged in it. And we know from, again, 50 years of research, the more you actively engage in something, the more it's going to impact you.
Right. So give us a study of how this went down. Did you just go to random middle schools around the country and say, hey, what are you doing on social media? How'd you plan this out?
So with this one, we did our local middle school, so within our community, but we really purposely picked very diverse middle schools. So we have their large middle schools with really diverse teens. So because we wanted to not just have one demographic, we wanted to have a mix of ethnicity and income. And we asked them about how much social media they were using, what types of, but even more specifically, what are they doing on social media? So it's not just that they're going to look, it's are you taking pictures of yourself? What types of pictures are you taking of yourself? Because we were interested in what we kind of call objectifying behavior. So when you treat yourself as the object of the picture, because we know that that's the really important part, is when you think about your body from someone else's point of view, that's really different than thinking about your body as just an active agent. We're interested in that. If I'm constantly thinking about myself from someone else's perspective, what does that do for my own body image? So we asked a lot of questions to a lot of middle schoolers about how often they're on, what types of things they're posting, what are they looking at, and then a lot of questions about their body image, how they think about their body, how often they think about their body, and whether they're kind of happy or not with their body.
We are talking to Christia Spears Brown, who has set out to do one of the first studies of teens on social media. You can call us at 1-800-642-1234. If you are a teen up at this hour, still up at this hour, or maybe getting up early, call us at 1-800-642-1234. So you looked at these middle schoolers, Christia. Your team looked at these middle schoolers. What did you find? Did you actually look at their social media accounts, or you just asked them questions?
We asked them questions. So we asked them, for one, what types of social media they're using. So we know that, you know, from our sample, the vast majority are on some form of social media. The most common, which we didn't know, is that they're using Instagram. It's by far the most common social media use now. I'll say a tricky thing about doing social media research is social media is constantly changing. Mm-hmm. So research that was done five years ago, everyone was using Facebook. Research done 5 years before that, you know, people were using MySpace.
Right.
Doesn't exist anymore. So what we see now is that, you know, as the adults and as grandparents and parents have flocked to Facebook, teens have fled Facebook. And so they're now on Instagram most commonly. And what they're doing is, what we see is they're posting a lot of photos of themselves and of others. We know that we learned that girls are posting more kind of selfies than boys are, although boys are pretty active as well, but girls are doing selfies more. But what's an important message in this is that it wasn't that social media use was associated with negative body image per se. It was really, if you're on social media and you're posting pictures of yourself, that's associated with thinking more about your body, so what we call body surveillance. They're thinking more about how others view their bodies. And then that was associated with more body shame, so feeling more negative about your body. And that relationship is stronger for girls than it is for boys. And what's important, it's also stronger for those teens that are a little more at risk for how other people think about them. Mm. So we also measured an individual difference that we all walk around with, which is some of us pay more attention to what others think about us. So we're more in tune to others for approval. We change our behavior to fit in with others more. It's kind of that susceptibility to peer pressure. And for teens that are high in that, that pay more attention to how others are acting to change their own behavior, we saw stronger links between their posting behaviors and their selfies and that more negative body image.
You know, correlation is not causation, though.
Right.
I mean, could it be that these teens, mostly girls, had a propensity to see themselves in a more negative light before they even came onto social media?
Most definitely. I think that's a very important part of this. And I think, so I'll say we have some longitudinal data that we're in the process of looking at, but I think it's a really important thing to think that we know that from other research is that by the time girls are in elementary school, by the time they leave elementary school, about half are afraid of gaining weight, want to be thinner. So well before they ever get on social media, girls are more unhappy with their bodies. A large percentage of them are. So it is, I would say, highly likely, in fact, that girls that are more insecure about their bodies or more unhappy with their bodies are also the ones that are posting selfies online because they are trying to get approval for those selfies and for those images. And then that's the cyclical kind of relationship. I think that's exactly, I mean, that's the bi-directional part of this is you're unhappy, you want to get others kind of thumbs up for you. But the problem is the more you're doing that, the more you're thinking about others.
Great. We are talking about selfies and their effect on our self-esteem, specifically our teenagers' self-esteem. Are you a teen? Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. It's The Morning Show. It's The Morning Show. I'm Carrie Kaufman. We're talking with researcher Christia Spears-Brown about our selfie generation and what that may be doing for good or bad to our collective self-esteem. 1-800-642-1234 is the number to call. You can also email us at ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. I've been asking teens to call in, 1-800-642-1234. If you are a parent of a teen, though, and you are just amused or perhaps concerned about your teen's use of social media, also give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. So, Christia, one can argue that the prospect of social media is to present our better selves, that a decade or more ago we may have gone to a friend's house wearing what we consider our hanging around the house clothes. But now when we go to that friend's house, we're pretty sure that we're going to take a picture and that that picture is going to be posted in memoriam. Does that put pressure on people?
I mean, our research suggests the thought of paying attention to how other people are viewing us, that's really the pressure that seems to be the more negative part of it. I think, and that's not necessarily a function of social media. In some ways, the more we think about how others view us, the more negative it is in just general. Social media is just the new way in which we're doing that more constantly.
And you say in the report that social media may also be leading to body shame, and you mentioned earlier body surveillance. So is shame and surveillance the same kind of thing?
No, they're slightly different in that surveillance is really, I'm thinking about how others view me. So I'm paying attention to how do I look. The problem is that, you know, in our Western culture in which everyone's supposed to be very thin and have this really perfect body, if I'm constantly thinking about my body and how others are seeing me, then often I don't measure up. And so I'm going to then feel worse and feel more body shame. So I could think about my body and just be really positive and feel great about it, but it's really hard to measure up to this cultural body ideal. And so the surveillance often then is associated with shame just because of the context in which we live.
And there is no necessarily way that teenagers think they should look, or is there? I mean, I've kind of seen an acceptance of different ways that people can look, different gender identities, different styles of dress. Like, that's proliferated on social media so that it's not just necessarily the well-groomed, model that people are going after. Are you seeing that, or are you really seeing that people want to look like the latest fashion magazine?
Well, I do think that's one of the great things about social media. And I'll say we don't have much research on this, but when we talk to teens, it seems as though one great thing is that you see a wider variety of people. So you see people that are really, everyone has a voice on social media. Mm-hmm. So it's not just who the fashion editor put on the front of Cosmo. It's everyone can have a voice and can show themselves. And that's great for the wide variety of kids and adolescents that don't normally see themselves on a magazine cover. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the great things of social media is seeing a diversity that we've not seen before.
We've got Susan from Hazel Green with us. Susan, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
What's your comment or question?
Well, I believe that these selfies that are just constantly showing up on Facebook, I've felt this way for months and months. I think it leads to a more narcissistic sense of this generation.
Mm-hmm.
And I get very tired. It's crossed over to my age group, too, of having to tell people, oh, that's pretty. Oh, yes, that matches your eyes. And,
yeah.
You know, and the fish lips, that just...
The fish lips.
You were talking about the surveillance, you know, and these pictures are being surveyed, I do feel, too, sometimes by a lot of people who aren't there for the right reason, because it is out there, and it's scary. My grandkids, I tell them, you know, you're beautiful. You don't have to take a picture with fish lips. Mm-hmm. And I do find that they do, a lot of the ones I see are trying to be, like, not on the cover of the Rolling Stones, but on the cover of the Cosmopolitan.
Right.
And I'm just concerned about it all.
Well, thank you, Susan. I appreciate that. Susan brings up a couple of good things, Christia, but one of them is that we, the audience for a lot of these pictures, feel the need to say something about them. Talk about that.
I mean, in some ways, it's an interesting issue of, I mean, so for adolescents, I mean, part of what they're doing is really doing it to get approval. So they are wanting the likes.
Right.
And the problem is when they're not getting likes, what does that say?
Mm-hmm.
So it is interesting to think about the pressure. I mean, we haven't really looked at that. Is what is the pressure of feeling of wanting to give approval to others? Is that an exhausting state to be in as well? We do know that adolescents are going with the intent to get approval. So they're wanting to get likes.
Right.
So then when they're not, the implication is people don't like it. So it's an interesting double bind, right? We feel pressure to say we like it. And then if they're not getting the likes, that can make them feel worse as well.
So I want to, first of all, I want people to call in 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@WPR.org. If you are so inclined, you can go onto social media and tweet. You don't actually have to send a selfie when you tweet at WPR Mornings. I want to talk about one of the other kind of good things about social media, and it's this, that when people are hurting, they reach out and other people will reach back to them. I've seen it. I've seen it on Facebook with older people. I've seen it on Instagram with younger people. Something bad happens to them, and they're like, I'm really sad because my brother did this, or because I had this fight with my mom, or because this thing happened to me. And all of their friends will just kind of jump in and be like, you're okay, everything's great. And it is definitely, you know, they're looking for approval, but they're also looking for community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think as humans, we want social connection above all else, really. And so the more we can find ways to connect with others, that's always positive. We really need that. We need it on good days and we need it on bad days. And so I think that's why, you know, one reason we're interested in social media, it's not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Because it does provide that for us. It gives us that sense of connection to others. So for us, it's a matter of figuring out, okay, well, are there ways in which social media might be risky for certain kinds of youth? Not that, because we, in general, actually, you know, Alyssa Solomon's work really speaks to the fact that social media per se actually has a lot of positive
mm-hmm.
Qualities. We really think that in general, it's really quite positive. So it's a matter of kind of tweaking where are the areas that it might be at risk, because it brings a lot of good, too.
So I want to talk about the other side of that, okay? I read something in the Washington Post that was from a woman who saw her daughter's friend's Instagram post. And she wrote in part, her friend had on a low-cut top, and the photo, which supposedly was meant to showcase a necklace, highlighted her new and substantial cleavage. I read that, the writer went on to say that she understood that it was clear the girl of 14 didn't have the quote-unquote willpower to stop herself from taking such a picture. But I read that, and I thought, why do you assume, why do you, adult person, assume that this kid was not intending to take a picture of the necklace? Because she's 14. She just grew breasts. She probably doesn't know their effect. And I feel like from that standpoint, it's the parent who kind of put the judgment on and not the kid. Her daughter really didn't care.
Well, we ask, you know, part of what our research looked at, too, is how much are they posting pictures of their bodies? Because we were interested in, are they posting photos of their bodies, particularly without their faces showing? And the types of, I think, images that we often are terrified our own children will post. And what's interesting is I think that the middle schoolers are pretty aware of posting images of their bodies like that. It's amazing with once puberty hits, they become really aware of posting revealing photos of themselves. But, you know, one of the part of our research found, not in this study, but in another study that we did, found that they also are really aware of the implications of that, and that in terms of sending a photo like that of themselves to others. And they know that others can share those types of photos and that there might be social repercussions of that. They were surprisingly savvy about photos of their body that might be revealing and how that might impact their reputation if those got around.
We are talking about teens and social media. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. Or tweet us at WPR Mornings. You talked about how this mostly affects girls, and we just had an example of a girl wearing clothing that showed her cleavage, her new cleavage. How does this affect boys?
Well, boys seem to be posting fewer photos of themselves just in general. So some research out of the Pew Research Center found that boys are doing more things like video games online, whereas girls are more likely to be posting selfies and things like that. We also know that boys in general are a little happier with their bodies than girls are. Girls are more likely to have negative body image.
And so that's always been the case, right?
Exactly, yes. So none of these are new phenomenon. So in that way, the impact of posting selfies and having negative consequences on body image seems to be stronger in girls because of their already pre-existing concerns about their body image and because they're doing selfies more frequently, again, because they're probably all related to one another. But that's not to say boys are immune. So we still see those relationships with boys as well. It's just not as strong as it is for girls.
So they're putting girls are tending to put more selfies out because they have concerns about body image and people liking them and what have you. But where is that coming from? The tool is social media. Where before that is it coming from?
We often make the argument that it really becomes from the very beginning. So when girls are born and we put the bow on their heads and we say, oh, how pretty you are.
Right.
We really focus on a girl's attractiveness from birth. So the focus is on girls being pretty. We make comments. There's lots of research that shows adults make comments about girls' appearance much more frequently than boys, really from the very beginning. Boys are said, oh, you're so strong, you're so smart, and girls, oh, you're so pretty. That's really the attention from the beginning. And so, you know, like good girls, they pick up on that. Those cues are how I look matters. That's what people comment on. You know, the goal is to put me in a dress when I'm really young, even though that's not the best way to play.
Right.
We're always kind of making my hair look perfect, even though I really just want to roll around and be rough and tumble. It's really girls need to be pretty. They need to pay attention to how they present themselves. So, yeah, exactly. Social media is just another medium in which that is playing out.
So social media, by the time parents start to monitor their kids' social media, there are already cues that they have or haven't given to their kids about how to be. And how do parents, first of all, deal with when their kids start to go on social media? I know people who are like, who monitor it all the time. And I know people who are just like, I trust my kids. Where's that happy medium? And second of all, what's your advice to parents when they have a girl and when they have a boy, and in terms of how to think about the images that they see?
I think having conversations very early matter.
Again, realizing that by the time kids are entering middle school, a lot of girls already have negative body image. So partly it's addressing the issue before it becomes an issue. So talking about things like body image before social media ever comes on the table. It also matters to talk to kids about how cultivated the images are on social media.
Ah.
So talking about the fact that they took 100 pictures to get that one selfie that got posted. And I think monitoring it is important. Parents really have a job of monitoring all of the media diet kids are on. I think treating social media like any other form of media is important. So, you know, you pay attention to what kind of movies your child is watching. You pay attention to who they're hanging out with, who their friends are. So social media is just part of the diet of adolescence. So we have to monitor that in the same way we pay attention to everything else. And helping kids know to be savvy consumers of that media. So to know that this is not realistic, to know that paying attention to how others think, talking to them about this very type of phenomenon. And when you think about how others are viewing you, you might feel worse about your body. We want to make sure that you're not feeling bad about your body.
You know, Lisa Kudrow of Friends a long time ago was talking about how her female co-stars would go to photo shoots and they would get these really, really great pictures. And she would go to a photo shoot and she'd be like, I'm not doing that, because they would have to almost go through contortions to get that one, quote unquote, natural looking picture. And Lisa Kudrow would just sit there and say, take my picture. So she's been talking about that for a long time. You said that teens have body image issues, but what are the percentages of the girls who have body image issues to those who don't?
So large scale studies have shown that by the time girls are about 13, so about teenagers, I think 13 to 17-year-old girls, 70% are unhappy with their bodies. And that's compared to about 40% of boys. We know that by the time girls are 13, more than half are afraid of gaining weight. 42% of elementary school girls want to be thinner. Elementary school girls. We're talking first to third grade are wanting to be thinner. So 70% of teenage girls are unhappy with their bodies. So this is a much bigger phenomenon than mm-hmm. just those that post selfies. This just seems to be exacerbating some of that unhappiness for the girls that really care about how others view them.
Is there something that teens can do themselves with social media that can combat this? Can they purposefully say, hey, post your ugly picture day?
There's some social media stars who really do that, and it seems to be very powerful for folks. So like Chrissy Teigen, for example, often who's a model and very, very beautiful, but will show images of herself that are very non-cultivated.
Right.
They really are not at her best self. Some people that do fitness types of social media platforms, they will show two side-by-side photos, one that's the really highly cultivated one where they look fantastic, and then one they'll show if they just slightly change their posture, how you see belly rolls and cellulite and all of that. And I do think that teens, I mean, those seem to be really popular. So I think that, and there have been the no makeup selfies. So I do think the more that we can be real on social media, again, it's that idea of we like social connection, the more we can relate to people in our real selves, that's always going to be positive no matter what the medium is.
We're talking about teens and social media. Give us a call about your view of posting selfies. 800-642-1234. Is it something you're comfortable with? Are there particular unspoken rules? It's The Morning Show. It's The Morning Show. I'm Carrie Kaufman. We're talking about selfies and body image with researcher Christia Spears Brown. She co-authored a study on how social media is affecting teens. We are taking your calls, 1-800-642-1234. ideas@WPR.org if you prefer to email, or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Christia, you said, I'm curious about your takeaways here. Are you suggesting that teens should reduce social media usage or get rid of it altogether, or just approach it differently?
Just approach it differently. I think, you know, as we've said, I think there are a lot of benefits to social media use. It's definitely not going away. And it's not negative necessarily. It's really approaching it differently, being mindful that it's highly cultivated. And for parents to talk to their teens, particularly the ones who are paying attention to how others view them. So it's this term that we use in research called being a high in self-monitoring, which means you pay attention to what others are doing to shape your own behavior. Mm. So if you have a teen who is really more susceptible to peer pressure or more susceptible to their peers' approval and pays more attention to what are my friends dressing like, what are my friends doing so I can adapt my own behavior, then those are really the teens that might be more at risk. So the parents of those teens would really be helped to have conversations with them about what are you doing online? How are you feeling about the pictures you see online? Let's be mindful of that these are not real photos in lots of ways. They're really kind of their very best selves. And so having more conversations with teens about what they're doing and seeing on their social media platforms.
So we're talking
about going away.
So we're talking about the difference between getting your sense of self from inside and getting your sense of self from outside.
Yes, very much. So that's really where we're seeing the biggest associations between selfies and body image. It's for the ones that are really clued into what are others thinking about me. And we see that that's just an individual difference. Some people do that more than others. Some people change their behavior more in the context that they're in than other people do. And there's no good or bad. It's just that paying attention more to what other people are doing and thinking can put you more at risk for feeling bad about yourself if you're really clued into that.
Erin from Green Bay is a high school teacher. Welcome to the program, Erin.
Thank you.
I bet you've seen it all.
I've seen a lot. I have a question for your guest about social media causing anxiety. I am a high school teacher, and a lot of my girls are completely unable to check their phones during class because, you know, it buzzes or it dings. And if they have that notification that someone liked their picture, they have to see it right then. And then on the flip side, I've had girls even come to me and say, like, you know, no one ever likes what I do online. And,
right.
And you know, like they're feeling bad about themselves because their friends are actually like at soccer practice or something. So I'm wondering if they study the connection between like anxiety and depression in social media at all. I'll take my comments off here.
Thank you, Erin. Christia?
We've looked at that, and we see not really strong links between it, but I think that that was just because we have a smaller sample and that didn't really capture. A lot of research has found, what the research that's out there has shown that social media use can be associated with higher levels of anxiety, for example, and higher rates of depression. But again, I do think that that's a bidirectional influence, so that if you're feeling more anxious, you're more likely to be checking it over and over and over again to see if people are liking you.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's that it goes back and forth. The ones that are seeking it are the ones doing it more often, and then when they're doing it more often, it seems to raise those levels of anxiety.
Is there a potential that social media may actually improve a child's self-image? Somebody who doesn't really think that they look really good and they put something up and everybody loves it, or they put some sort of goofy photo up and everybody loves it and they're like, oh, okay, that should be my persona. Have you found those kinds of things?
Other researchers have. They found that when you're getting more approval and more likes, it does seem to lead to boost in self-esteem, at least temporarily. So it does seem to be helpful. You know, and there's not been a lot of research on this, but just anecdotally, it seems to us, too, that for kids that don't necessarily fit in well at their school, so for the kids that are gender nonconforming, for example, or are in some kind of minority group that don't really have their own kind of group of people at their school, these types of social media, they can have friends through social media that they might not know in person, and it can provide a sense of connection that they might not be able to get at their own school because of other types of reasons. So for those, it can also be giving them a peer group and a sense of connection that they might not be having in their face-to-face lives. Can be a really important sense of self-esteem as well.
You know, I've also talked to teens who tell me that they are shy, that they don't really know how to talk to people, and they use social media to kind of try things out. It's not necessarily about the picture, it's about the communication.
Mm-hmm. Again, you know, the idea, the more we can connect with others is always going to be positive. We really need that. You know, there's a lot of research that's been going on in developmental psychology that shows when adolescents, when kids don't have friends, there's lots of negative consequences for that. It's really negative to not have at least one friend. But on social media, it opens up those doors to have connections with others that you might not have in your classroom because you're really shy or introverted. Or you somehow don't fit in. So if social media can provide friends for those kids, that's an enormous boost for those kids.
Are teens seeing something different when they look at social media that their parents are seeing?
I think it seems as though, I mean, for teens, this is their daily life. This is how they don't see this as a disconnect from all of the other things that they do. I think as adults, social media is still kind of new for all of us. We really grew up in a time well before social media. It's such a new phenomenon that it feels often disconnected for us. So I think people often think about kids being online and being socially isolated and is it negative for them? But for kids, this is just an integrated part of their lives. You know, they report being on there constantly.
Right.
You know, I think a fourth of some of the national studies show 1/4 of teens say they go online almost constantly. So for them, this is just a normal part, just like going to school and talking to kids in the hallway. They go online and they're on social media. So I think adults have to really get on board. They have to recognize this is their minute-by-minute lives. And it's not this disconnected part that we often perceive.
And also, I have seen kids get together in a group, hanging around, maybe watching a movie, and then being on social media with each other at the same time, taking pictures of each other, taking selfies, commenting on the movie, talking to people who aren't necessarily there. I mean, it kind of enhances the communication all around.
It does. And I think this is just an extension of their regular peer relationships in many ways.
Mm-hmm. So parents, to help their kids do social media, like, yes, they are on there constantly. If the parent is also, I mean, if you're sitting at a dinner table and you're all looking at your social media, then the kids are getting the message that that's okay. What are some rules that parents should put out in terms of when to use social media, when to not use social media?
I think that monitoring screen time is an important part. So research has been pretty consistent over the past decade that it's also not good to be in front of a screen constantly, is that we really still have to have face-to-face interaction. So some studies, suggest limiting screen time to, 2 hours a day for teens. So, and, school...
2 hours a day. Really, 2 hours
right?
a day. Okay.
Still a lot.
Yeah.
Teens reporting doing this constantly, I think that becomes the problem in that if you're not engaging in face-to-face interaction, that should still be our primary source of human interaction. So setting rules on it in the same way that we would set rules on any form of media. I think, if your kids shouldn't be eating dinner in front of the television set either. I mean, that's research that's been around for 25 years.
Right.
So this is no different than that, is that we want to limit how much we're engaging with media regardless of the type of media.
And I also know teachers, we just had a teacher on who have bags at the beginning of class. You put your cell phone in the bag, you can take it out when you leave. Should we be doing that at home too? This is the cell phone break room?
you know, I don't know what research, there's not research that's addressing this, but I can say as the parent of a 14-year-old girl, we do not allow phones in your room at night. There's a charging station downstairs in the kitchen where, you know, phones go when we're done for the day. We don't do it on TV. We don't do it during meals. We really limit the amount of time that she's allowed to be on her phone. And I'll say, you know, almost all social media is really through phones. That's really why it's
that
so
is true. Yes.
And so we really restrict that so that it's in certain times of the day. It cannot be all night long. So I think parents, in the same way that I wouldn't let her, you know, we don't have TVs in bedrooms either.
Right.
In the same way that we monitor the other types of diet that she consumes, it's important to put restrictions on it. Parents still have to be able to monitor. You know, kids aren't, and adolescents aren't good at regulating their own behavior, right? And we know that online behaviors are somewhat addictive. It seems to trigger the same parts of the brain that drug use does. It's a really addictive phenomenon to check your social media.
Ah.
And teens are not good at regulating anything. If it feels good, they want to do it. And so we have to help them regulate it in the same way that we have to help them regulate other types of rewarding behavior. You know, they can't eat candy all day either.
Right.
So I think we have to, you know, we still have to use our own judgment in the exact same way we do other types of things that they're consuming.
In the next 15 seconds, what's the next step in working on this?
I think really thinking about how are teens thinking about this. Like, what is asking them? What's this doing for you? How can we do it in smarter ways? It's not going anywhere. So how can we think about what are teens saying is the problems? What are teens saying makes them feel bad, makes them feel good, so that we can recognize their lived experience and not just bring our own middle-aged experiences to it, to think about what's bothering them, what are their concerns, where are they seeing the red flags and the concerning areas, so that we can help them look at it kind of from their own perspective.
We've been talking about body image in the selfie era. Christia Spears Brown is professor of psychology at the University of Kentucky. She's the co-author of a new study, The Selfie Generation, examining the relationship between social media and early adolescent body image. Christia, thank you for joining us this hour.
Thank you for having me.
Coming up tomorrow at this time, WPR goes beyond the ballot. For the next few months, we'll examine a new question every Tuesday morning, starting with, are you planning to vote this year? Tomorrow morning at 6, here on the Ideas Network.